ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
All right, this is a conversation I had with Chris Fowley, who's in the Netherlands as we speak on a bit of a holiday. You know, his experiences on the ground over there. I just wanted to mention as well, big thanks to Tig from Tiger Drops and the Hemp Foundation, who's been holding it down the last couple of weeks. But let's cross now to Chris Fowley in the Northern Hemisphere. Is Amsterdam the home of cannabis globally?
Ooh, it certainly seems like it. It is where everyone still goes. I was kind of a little bit surprised. I thought that particularly people from America or Canada would kind of, you know, not be going there. And you know, you can go take your holiday in Detroit or Washington, D.C. or other exciting parts of America, I guess. So I think that's part of the appeal, is people can head over to Amsterdam and experience some culture and something a bit different. And then kind of wonder, you know, why don't we do this at home? That my overall impression is it just seems so civilized and just so nice. And I'm just struggling. I've been to Amsterdam quite a few times now, and I'm still struggling to find a downside. And it just really blows my mind, as I think most visitors to Amsterdam have the same thought of, what the hell's wrong with this? There just doesn't seem to be a downside. And I just can't fathom why governments around the world, I still can't fathom, you know, why governments around the world haven't embraced it. It just makes no sense. To briefly give people a bit of a rundown, Amsterdam has its own set of rules, separate from the Netherlands. It's very kind of devolved, and each local municipality sets their own rules. And in fact, over half of the areas in the Netherlands don't allow coffee shops in terms of the retail sale. But all the big cities do. It's legal for personal use and to grow a few plants at home, I think up to five. And so that's everywhere. But in terms of going to a coffee shop, as I say, they have different rules. In Amsterdam, one of the interesting things is that there's a sinking lid policy where they are, for the last few years, any kind of breach of the rules, a technical breach, can result in the closure of a coffee shop, and they're not issuing any new licenses. So there's a bit of a market to buy coffee shops, because you can't open your own. You've got to buy an existing one, and they're going to go for like millions of euros, because those licenses, a new one, is just impossible to get. But this has had a bit of a chilling effect. I found that the coffee shops, they didn't want photos. They were a little bit reluctant to talk. They didn't want people kind of smoking in the window or outside the front of the shop. And these were all because someone who doesn't like them could lodge a complaint, and that could see them close down. So that was quite interesting. You know, they're all still there and trading, but as I say, they're quite worried about what the future may bring. And the ironic thing there, there's actually a green mayor, which I just found astounding. She's very unpopular, apparently. A lot of complaints, but there's the green mayor of Amsterdam is the one who wants to close these down. She also wants to close the red light district. People, again, are just shaking their heads and kind of wondering, you know, what the hell's going on there. I took a little trip to Haarlem, which is next to Amsterdam, and you can just bike there in about an hour, which is a very nice thing to do in a very bike-friendly place like that. And Haarlem is quite different because it's properly regulated. It's not a grey zone. They're not just being tolerated by the local police like Amsterdam is, but they're properly regulated. And all the same coffee shops that were there 20 years ago when I last went to Haarlem, they're all still there. And they don't have any fear of being closed by their local government. They have very good rules and things. They were happy to have photos and to discuss things, and quite a different attitude actually over in Haarlem. But both, of course, have good lessons for New Zealand. In particular, you know, I did a bit of a trawl of the local news, and I see the old helicopter operations by the local police in our local news again, with critics saying a complete waste of money. And I think it was the Waikato Times had done some Official Information Act requests to get the total spending. And I just don't believe it. I think the Waikato Times needs to dig deeper. The police have come up with a $2 million budget for all, that's what they're saying they're spending, on all these helicopters, the flying around, the buying the weed killer, the spraying, the analysis, the court prosecutions, all of that. It's apparently only $2 million. So they're really saying, oh, look, don't worry. We're hardly spending anything. My suspicion, and again, Waikato Times, you need to follow this up, this is just their additional spending. I believe they are not counting the wages of all the police officers involved, the helicopters provided by the Air Force, the wages of the Air Force staff for flying them, the lab analysis, the money that they pay to ESR. I think all of those things are just written down as other budgets, and they're not actually tallying it up to the helicopters. Which I think is likely to cost a lot more.
The true cost is hidden. It's hidden. I mean, Chris.
That's right. And in fact, the true cost is the opportunity cost, isn't it? It's what those officers aren't doing. So every hour that they're joyriding around in helicopters and spraying people's weed in their back garden, you know, claiming they're going after the Mr. Biggs, but, you know, we've talked about it before. They were spraying a couple's three medical cannabis plants in their back garden in the Coromandel. But yeah, it's that opportunity cost. If they're flying around in helicopters, they're not solving burglaries or assaults or you know, rapes and murders and things. So, you know, there's a lot more important things, I believe, and I'm sure a lot of other people think that too. There's a lot better things that they could be doing.
Mm. Now, Chris, for you in Amsterdam, what are you hoping to do? Are you visiting like growers or particular people that produce a certain strain of cannabis that you might be able to bring back here under license, or what's your plan? What's the goal?
Well, hey, I'm just here on holiday really, but and just enjoying being out of New Zealand for a little bit. But no, I did go and visit TH Seeds, my old mate Doug, who they're one of the first original seed banks, started in 1984, and they have a mission of collecting and preserving genetics. So they have a lot of the old originals going way back, but they also have a lot of the latest ones. And it's interesting to hear the top ones, and I saw this myself in the coffee shops, but hearing from Doug, their top ones are the Gelato 33, also known as French Macaron. Beautiful, delicious flavors coming out of America, but refined in France. And as I say, that is an absolute creme de la creme. And then you have the Banana Candy Crush. That's number two. And that also sounds just absolutely delicious. And the number three was the MOB, which has been around a little while, but it's a top seller because it finishes earlier than other things. And I saw that myself. You could see in these outdoor gardens, the buds on the MOB were finished and the other ones were barely starting. So people can stagger their gardens, but also it's very reliable, heavy producer and mold resistant, which is very good for New Zealand. So yeah, that was interesting. And when I went to the coffee shops, these same strains, you know, they were there, and particularly that Gelato, just going for kind of twice or three times the price of other stuff. That consumer appeal, you know, these are the flavors that people want. Several years ago, it was Kush's, the gas flavors, the diesels. Then we had cookies and things for a few years ago. And now it's the Gelato range is really the top one. And what I saw in the coffee shops is, while other cannabis might be selling for, you know, 7 to 10 euro a gram, these things like the Gelatos are often 30 euro a gram, mm-hmm. You know, which is pretty incredible pricing for what we're used to paying in New Zealand.
Are you getting to sample some of these wares as you make your trek around Amsterdam?
Of course, sample as much as I can. Mm-hmm. and having just come through England too, it was really interesting there. It's pretty tolerated now in the UK. I was just smelling cannabis like everywhere. People just sit down and skin up and roll up in public places. No one's giving them any grief about it. So that was interesting. There wasn't like a climate of fear and, oh, we better hide over there. And, you know, we're naughty people that have to hide. It was just kind of normalized. But CBD in the UK is just sold in cafes, and you get it in a coffee, you get it in a muffin. You go to a supermarket, you can find it, every pharmacy, all the health food stores, regular mainstream pharmacies like Boots and Holland and Barrett in particular, they just have massive displays. So I thought that was really interesting. You know, you can go to your doctor and get it on prescription if that's what you want, and they have similar products and pricing to what we're used to in New Zealand. But if you don't want to do that, you just go to a shop and buy it. And then it's just super cheap. And every, you can get a face mask, you can get sports supplements, you know, protein powders with CBD. You can get, you know, just absolutely everything you can think of. Mm-hmm. And that's the UK. So that was incredible. Going around the rest of Europe, seeing the same thing. Belgium, it was all over the place. You know, as I say, Netherlands obviously too, probably not quite so much because you can get the other stuff quite legally, but they have some very nice upmarket CBD stores. And then for the down market, you just go to the actual flea markets selling weed and CBD and seeds and everything. Switzerland, where I've just come through.
Yes.
Pardon?
I was going to say, is there any hope? Could you chuck CBD in your hand luggage and bring it back in from Europe, or is that a big no-no?
You can put it in your luggage and travel all around Europe. It's legal everywhere in Europe for your personal use and just to buy it and possess it and have it. So once you've got it in one country, you can just travel around. Mm. In terms of coming back to New Zealand, it's a prescription medicine. So yeah, you'd need a prescription or, you know, have a bit of a discussion at the border, I guess. The worst that's going to happen is you just hand it in and get it destroyed. But yeah, I don't think you're going to get in any kind of trouble as long as you're not being sneaky, you know. But but yeah, prescription I think would be properly needed to bring it back to New Zealand. So it just shows that we're just really out of step with the rest of the world and in particular Europe. And if you think about that from an equity point of view, you know, if you live in Europe, even on your Kiwi passport or whatever, you need to just walk into a shop, buy it, you're paying a lot cheaper. You know, and then that's more money to spend on other things, your family or having healthy foods or whatever it is, right? But for patients in New Zealand, it's very, very difficult. Mm. And then a huge amount of their income, their disposable income, is taken up by it. Mm. You know, again, it's that opportunity cost of what they could otherwise be doing. So, yeah, for me, this is an equity issue. It's a fairness thing. You know, why are we worse off than the rest of the world?
Mm. Now, from a Zcan perspective, are there any strands, or are you making any connections for stuff to potentially research in NZ?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, from a business point of view, we'd be better off relocating to Europe or, you know, being a Kiwi company that exports to Europe. It's just so much easier here. But yeah, those strains that I mentioned before, we grow those under license in New Zealand and can supply those to other growers. So in terms of having that consumer appeal of having products that people actually want to consume, having these good genetics with the delicious flavors and things, you know, that this is what they're all telling me over here. This is very important, that a lot of companies think, particularly these big guys, the biggest companies in the world, they just grow crap. You know, it really is swaggy crap, and the patients just don't want it. And these guys are just losing billions and billions of dollars growing crap weed.
Yeah.
Whereas people who know what they're doing with good genetics, you know, this is what the patients actually want. Mm. So,
What's been the most exciting?
Growing out that gelato, the French macaron, that's going to be fun.
Has that been the most exciting thing you've tried since you've been in Europe?
Mate, every day is just another thing. Eh? I mean, I was in Zurich yesterday. And you just go into these stores, hemp shops, and it's CBD flower. They're limited to 1% THC there. When I was in Switzerland 20 years ago, they were selling any type of weed you want, as long as it was called tea. And so you just walked into a shop and said, I want some hemp tea, and then you just bought your weed.
Yes.
Now, though, it's limited to 1%. They said that no law has changed, but the police tolerance changed, and they started raiding people that were doing over 1%. The police actually carry around these little pocket diagnostic tests, which I've got a hold of, and if they see you smoking cannabis and they want to cause some trouble, they probably won't, but if they want to cause some trouble, they can actually test your cannabis on the spot. If it's over 1%, well, something might happen. Mm. If it's under 1%, you're on your way. So, that was really interesting. But these CBD buds are just tasty as. As I say, it's not the swag that these big companies are growing in Canada and that. This is delicious, super tasty cannabis. It just happens to be under 1%, but still high in CBD. Mm. So that was interesting. And you get vape pens, just all pre-filled and things. And, it's just so civilized. Mm. And quite eye-opening for how far behind the times we have managed to get in New Zealand.
Is there any hope for us? Is there any hope?
There's always hope.
Does it inspire you? Does it inspire you, mate? Or are you just, you're like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that gives me hope is looking to Thailand, you know, which was the one of the most oppressive countries in the world. And, you know, we were always told, you know, you definitely don't want to have anything in your pocket when you go through there because, you know, where you're going to end up, you might even be executed, you know. I mean, Thailand is very, very harsh and they've just done a complete 180. And so this week their law went into effect. Some people have been a bit ahead of the law, but it's happened this week. It's decriminalized cannabis for everyone. You can grow at home, grow as much as you want, grow whatever you want. High THC, low THC, whatever you want, you can grow it. And to get things kicked off, the government over there from this week is giving away 1 million cannabis plants to the people of Thailand. This is from the government.
Crazy.
Just incredible. But if you want to make a concentrate or an extract or hash or something, it has to stay below 0.2% THC, which would be very, very difficult to do. So basically, no concentrates and hashes and oils. That will come later under government licensing and regulation. And that fully legal market is where they're going to go in Thailand. But that's still to come, that side. But for now, as of this week, over in Thailand, you can grow as much cannabis as you want at home. Of whatever strain you want. And I see that some of these genetics companies from America and Europe and that are already set up there and are going to be providing people with the good seeds to get them going. Nice. So, that gives me a lot of hope, right? If Thailand can do it, and all it really took was a change of government and some new politicians just going, this is what we're into. So not necessarily saying we need a change of government in New Zealand, but we just need the politicians to change their stance on it, I guess. And got an election coming up next year, so that's our big opportunity to put pressure on them.
Nice.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm a